Turns out I do have somewhere to be after all. If you girls will excuse me, I have a hot date in town. Enjoy flicking through the journal, Elle. I think you'll find it a riveting read. Ren's sister saunters out of the room with a swing in her hips. She doesn't bother to close the door behind her, but Karina launches off the bed and races across the room, slamming it behind her. I don't think I've ever seen her move so quickly.
You don't need to read anything, she says.
Wow. When she turns to face me, I barely recognize her. She's ashen, the color drained from her face, and there's panic carved into the lines of her features. She looks 10 years older than she is, and desperately haunted. I reach into Mara's hiding place, taking out the leather-bound book. It's cold and heavy in my hands, fatter than a Bible. Its pages wrinkled and dog-eared in places, most of them written on. What's this about, Karina? I have to ask. I hate that my words are so hard and clipped, but there's something clearly going on here that she doesn't want me to know about. She strides across the room, holding out her hand for the diary.
Give it to me, Elle. Seriously. This is one mess that you don't want to get involved in. Can you please just trust me? Haven't I been looking out for you since you got here?
The journal feels like an unexploded bomb in my hand. If I crack it open, it's going to go off, and everything I know, everything I think I know about this place, will go up in smoke. Is that what I want? For things to become even more complicated? My whole life has been one problematic situation after another, after another, after another. Things with Ren are so complicated, I don't even know what the fuck is going on there. But the mystery surrounding the previous occupant of my room seems sketchy. It feels as though it would be dangerous not knowing what happened to the girl and who was involved with her disappearance. And, I'll admit it, Karina's over-the-top level of panic right now is freaking me out. It's making her look incredibly guilty. Of what, I don't know. And I have no idea what I'm supposed to do right now.
Please, Elodie, no good can come from reading that journal, I promise you. We should just hand it over to the cops and let them deal with it.
Karina sets her jaw. She locks up, her shoulders tensing, her back so ramrod straight, she looks like she's about to salute a 4-star general.
It's been close to a year. Mara's parents have been worried sick about their daughter this entire time. The police will know what to do with new evidence. Handing it over to them is the right thing to do.
Do you know where she went, Karina? Is that why you don't want me to read this? She blinks, her eyelids fluttering rapidly.
No! If I knew where she was, believe me, I'd be telling anyone who'd listen. I'm just trying to keep you out of a situation that's really fucked up and could put you in danger. You can't be mad at me for that.
Danger? Why would I be in danger? Her pupils almost double in size. I can see them dilate from 4 fucking feet away.
Ugh, Elle, just give me the journal. I swear to God, you'll be happier for not knowing what's inside it.
What the fuck? Am I supposed to just hand it over? Hold it over my head and play keep away with it? Karina's 1.5 feet taller than me, so that shit ain't gonna work. It'll cause so much contention between us if I don't give her what she wants. I'll lose my only real friend at Wolf Hall. And for what? Because I'm suspicious as fuck that something untoward happened here? Yes, that's a good reason to make a stand. But if the police are already dealing with the matter. Reluctantly, I hold out the journal to her. I don't want to lose Karina. And this Mara girl might be a ghost, wandering these halls and lurking in the shadows of my bedroom at night. But maybe Karina's right. Maybe that situation has nothing to do with me, and I should leave it well alone. Karina sags with relief when her hand closes around the journal and I let go. Guilt hides in her eyes, though. She feels bad that she's strong-armed me into doing this now that she's got her way.
Thank you, Elle. Really, I mean it. I'm grateful that you're trusting me. I know how it must look.
You do? I'm sharper than the point of a blade. Really? She sighs, hugging the journal tightly to her chest, like I might make a grab for it and run out of the room.
Mara was really troubled, Elodie. She was so much fun, and it was hard not to love her. But she was allergic to the truth a lot of the time, just didn't want to hear it. Occasionally, reality, and the way she wanted things to be, sometimes got a little blurred around the edges. I'm sure this journal's full of things she half fantasized about, daydreams that could do a lot of damage if the wrong person read them.
She huffs, exasperation on her face.
Can we just forget about it and move on with the day, please? I just want things to be normal again.
Her last statement seems so loaded now. I suspect that she's not just talking about the chilled out, relaxing afternoon we had planned for ourselves. I think she's talking about life at Wolf Hall in general, and the fact that nothing will ever be normal again here if people keep on bringing up Mara's mysterious vanishing act. I suck in a deep breath through my nose, trying to release the tension that's built up inside of me. Okay, fine. I won't bring it up again. But you need to answer one question first. She chews on her lip, anxious, but nods.
What do you want to know?
Did Ren or any of the other Riot House boys have something to do with Mara's disappearance? She stiffens, shakes her head.
No. I'd love to be able to pin something on them, but they were inside the house all night. The three of them. I saw them with my own eyes. Dashiell.
She winces.
Dashiell was with me. All of us were in the kitchen playing drinking games. We were all so fucked, none of us left the house until the next morning.
Ren passed out in front of the fireplace and slept there till dawn. Pax was making cocktails all night.
Whatever happened to Mara, it had nothing to do with them.
I parse this inside my head, letting it take root. Ren wasn't involved in the girl's mysterious vanishing act. He's innocent of any possible crime that took place that night. Okay, well, fine. I suppose that's an end to it then. Karina gives me a relieved smile.
Great. You're the best, Elle. Anyone ever told you that?
All the time. I smile tightly, but no matter how hard I force it, I know it doesn't reach my eyes. I watch as she puts the journal into the backpack full of beauty products she brought with her to my room, zipping the bag up tight once the book's hidden out of sight.
I'm done with the braids, she says. You want me to give you a manicure? I have a gel light. I can do a proper job.
I register the stiffness in her voice. She's trying hard to wipe away the memory of what just happened, but it's going to take more than a gel manicure to erase this awkwardness. If she was one of my friends back in Tel Aviv, I'd call her out on her shit immediately and demand to know what the fuck was going on. That kind of pushing isn't appropriate here, though. Best just to forget about the journal and Mercy's obvious meddling. Best just to forget about Mara and the dark cloud that I can now feel hanging over the academy. I replace the piece of wood, forming the windowsill again. And I amp up the wattage on my smile, trying to make it look real this time.
Sure thing, but only if you promise not to paint my nails bright yellow.
In the dark. I am nameless, lost, forgotten. The air feels like shards of glass bristling inside my lungs. My throat's raw from screaming. When the straw appears through the hole this time, I have no option but to drink. I'm prolonging this torture by gulping down the tepid, foul water that flows through the plastic and into my mouth,
but I'm not as strong as I thought I was. If I die, it'll be because I was trapped here and no one thought to come looking. But I'm too weak to give up yet.
25. Ren. I don't give a shit, fuckface. I bought a bowler hat and I need to wear it. End of story. Pax throws back the remains of his beer and tosses the bottle so that it spins in the air, spraying amber liquid from its mouth as it flies end over end toward the trash can. Dashiell visually reprimands him with a trademarked love-it family frown of disapproval. Pax ignores the look, smirking like a bastard when the bottle finds its mark and clatters loudly into the receptacle on the other side of the kitchen. Alex has hair in a clockwork orange. You're gonna look nothing like him. Holding his own beer bottle to his lips, Dashiell drinks, his throat working. I sit on the stool by the breakfast bar, saying nothing, brooding, glowering at each of them in turn to make it perfectly clear how little I'm enjoying this. Oh, ye of little imagination, if I can get a bowler hat, you don't think I can find a fucking wig? It's oh, ye of little faith, you heathen, and all I'm saying is costume parties are for kids, and Halloween. At no other time should people on the verge of adulthood voluntarily want to play dress-up. Come on, don't be a prick. Girls always wear the sluttiest outfit they can find at a costume party. Aren't you jonesing for a little TNA? It must have been, what, 5 years since you got your dick sucked? Funny, Dash grins sourly at him. Ren, we're at odds here. You have the deciding vote, mate. What do you say? Should we have an adult party where the attendees can wear their normal clothes like big boys and girls? Or should we have an infantile fancy dress party? I glance up from the laptop screen in front of me, waiting for him to see just how annoyed I am by this whole thing. He just stands there, waiting patiently for me to offer him my opinion, though. And I know the fucker. He's not going to leave it be until I've made some sort of decree. I don't give a flying fuck about this party, boys. If it were up to me, we wouldn't even be having it. So wear a fucking bowler hat and a tutu, I tell Pax. And you can wear a cravat and a three-piece fucking suit if you like. And I'll wear what I'm wearing right now, and I'll drink myself into oblivion until it's all over, and then we can all move on with our lives. Pax's eyes narrow, and narrow, and then narrow some more. I can't even tell if they're still open when he says, "You're master of this hunt this time, Jacoby. I wouldn't go getting too shit-faced if I were you." God fucking damn it. I knew this was gonna happen. I fucking knew it. I'm not master of the hunt. I was master last time, which means one of you fuckers is up to bat. In unison, Dashiell and Pax shake their heads. They disagree, bicker, fight, and squabble about everything, but it looks like they're of one mind about this. So typical. Things went badly last time, so Pax and I made an executive decision. You need to get back into the saddle. You're all over the place, and frankly, we're tired of living with an imposter. An imposter, right? Yes. Dash drops a couple of dry roasted peanuts into his mouth. You're currently not yourself, and we've decided we want the old you back. So you get to be master, and we get to revel in whatever sick, fucked up party game you arrange for us to play, and everything goes back to normal. Sound good? No, this does not sound good. None of it does. As master of the hunt, I'll be expected to do certain things. I used to revel in those arcane delights, but things have changed now. There's Elodie to consider. I haven't been able to shake the image of her, naked and beautiful, straddling me, the sweet sound of her panting in my ear since last night. I'll die an old man in my bed, all of my other memories eaten away by the ravages of time, but that memory will still be burning fiercely behind my eyelids when I go. Elodie is mine, and I'm not fucking letting her go. And I can't be master of the hunt and keep Elodie. There's no way in hell. Do what you gotta do, Pax says, snapping open another beer. He flicks the cap across the living room. But this is happening, Ren. You're gonna have to man up. Dash and I have never balked when you've thrown us a gig. We sure as shit didn't kick up a fuss when you bundled us onto that plane last weekend, and that was some fucked up shit. He's right. I've put both of them in really compromising situations before, for the sheer hell of it, because it made me laugh, and watching them squirm was 10 different kinds of entertaining. And my most recent ask of them could have ended in disaster for all three of us if something had gone wrong. I can't back out of this. If I refuse to play ball with them, it'll cause a rift in the house like nothing else. I chug from my beer to stop myself from cursing the motherfuckers out. In the meantime, Dash says, eyeing me sternly. He looks like my fucking father. Mercy's asked if she can move in here. I spray IPA across the kitchen counter. What the fuck did you just say? No need to overreact. I told her it was up to you, and your word would be final on the matter. She said you were never going to let her stay here, and I didn't give her any reason to believe she was wrong. At which point she called me and Pax cunting little bitches for not standing up to you, and then put a scratch in the charger. I haven't put a single scratch on that car, Pax growls darkly. Not one. And I take terrible care of my things. You'll be pleased to know that your sister is now on my shit list. I don't like that Mercy's been talking to these guys behind my back. She thinks she fucking walks on water, that girl. At least one of them is beginning to see things from my perspective, though. Dash, not so much. Personally, I think she'd be a great addition to the house, but I know how little my opinion counts for these days. You're lucky you have a sister, you know, Jacoby. Some of us had to grow up all alone in a big, drafty house. Oh, cry me a river, I've seen that sprawling mansion you call a house, and it's fucking beautiful. You were raised in the lap of luxury with a silver spoon sticking out of your mouth. Having a sister is like having an annoying case of hemorrhoids that won't fucking go away. Little young for hemorrhoids, aren't you? I roll my eyes. I agree with him, Pax mutters. I fucking hate both of my sisters, and my brother. They're the cunting little bitches. The dynamic of the house would be fucked if a girl moved in here. Mercy's blossomed quite spectacularly since she left last year. She's the hottest little fuckhole at the academy, but she's also fucking insane. I don't have time to be installing 8 new locks in my bedroom door, and she could whoa! What the fuck are you doing? Take your hand off me, Jacoby, or I'll fucking snap it off. I have him by the collar of his t-shirt. I am ready to lay the fucker out. We've gone 4 months without any of us hitting each other, though, so I shake him hard enough to make his teeth rattle instead. She is fucking insane. She's the bane of my fucking existence, but she's still my fucking sister. Say something like that again, and I'll take a pair of pliers to your front teeth, get it? Pax slaps me away, eyes furious, his cheeks turning red. Fuck, he wants to land a right hook on my jaw so fucking bad. He won't, though. He's still thinking about Corsica and the Contessa. All right, point made, he seethes. Jesus, you take everything so fucking personally. I'll drive over to DC and finger bang your mom then, shall I? See how personally you take that? Enough. Enough. God, it's a miracle you guys haven't given me a nervous breakdown by now. Let's all cool our jets and gather our composure, shall we? Pax won't say anything weird about your sister anymore. Mercy isn't moving into the house, and you will be master of the hunt, he reaffirms. Come hell or high water, you, Ren Jacoby, will have something truly devious and perfect planned for us the night of the party. I just know you will. He pauses, his expression hard and judging, as he gives me a meaningful look. You haven't let us down yet.
26. Elodie. Monday mornings were so much easier at Mary Magdalene's. The weekends were my own in Tel Aviv. My father's schedule meant he was always away from the house on Saturdays and Sundays, and I was free to do my own thing. Go shopping with Ayala and Levi, go to the movies, do my homework and putter around the house in peace. He was around more during the beginning of the week, so going to school was an actual blessing. It saved me from his ire, walking the halls of the international school. I stretched out every single class I had, making the time away from Colonel Stillwater count. I signed up for as many after-school activities as I could. Anything to avoid going home, when I knew he'd be there waiting for me, his never-ending anger rolling off him in waves, just waiting for me to do something or say something that warranted an explosion of epic proportions. At Wolf Hall, there's no escape from my studies. I'm only ever 3 floors away from a classroom, and that fact in itself makes the beginning of the academic week more depressing than it should be. I don't really get to leave, so it never feels as though I've had a break. It's gloomy again, rain slashing at the windows as I make my way down the stairs, dreading this morning's English class. When I reach the hallway, there are students everywhere, chattering loudly and joking with one another as they make their way to their first lesson of the day. I should feel lighter than I do. I get to see Ren soon. But this isn't some sweet high school romance that I can let myself feel giddy over. It's a secret. Ren didn't tell me to keep what happened with him the other night quiet, but it's there all the same, an unspoken agreement between the two of us. It would be bad for both of us if anyone knew we'd torn each other's clothes off and fucked in his bedroom. My heart shoots up into my throat as I see Dashiell enter through the academy's entrance, shaking his head like a wet dog, sending droplets of water flying from the ends of his dark blonde hair. Pax appears after him, a broad smile spread across his face, laughing at the top of his lungs at some private joke. And then there's Ren. My breath stills in my chest. He enters the school, dressed head to toe in black, the shoulders of his hoodie darkened by the rain, the hood pulling up over his head, his eyes already searching, searching, searching. He finds me, standing on the bottom step of the stairs, and the lights overhead dim. I step down, sliding along the edge of the hallway, my back against the wall, and the Riot House boys shove their way through the crowds, still caught up in whatever conversation they were having when they arrived. Two of them are, at least. Ren stills on the other side of the hall, coming to a stop opposite me. A tense moment passes where we stare at each other across the sea of bustling bodies, our line of sight clear, then obscured by the flow of students as they pass us by. How is no one else reacting to this? How can they not feel the electricity in the air? How is everyone else so blind and deaf and dumb to the pressure that's building around them as Ren Jacoby and I share this blisteringly surreal moment? Forgotten the way? I glance up and Karina's there, clutching her school bag to her chest, wearing a pristine white t-shirt and a tartan skirt that should be illegal, it's so short. Sorry?
What are you doing, just standing there? You look like you've seen a ghost, she says, laughing.
Oh, nothing, sorry.
I thought you were gonna go save us a seat. Come on, if we don't hurry, someone else will grab our sofa.
I look up and Ren's gone. Dr. Fitzpatrick's already at the front of his room when Karina and I enter.
Come on, girls. You know the punishment if you're late, he says, grinning.
What's the punishment for being late? I hiss. Karina grabs my arm and pulls me toward the sofa.
You don't want to know.
Once we're sitting down, I grab my notepad out of my bag, twisting a pen over in my fingers nervously, surveying the room. I look at every other student in the class before I give in and allow my gaze to drift, as casually as I can manage, over to the battered leather sofa on the opposite side of the room. Ren's right where he's supposed to be. But he's not sprawled out, lying on his back, staring angrily at the ceiling today. He's sitting up like a normal person, eyes locked on his hands, his hair falling into his face, a tiny frown pulling at his dark brows.
Dashiell and Pax are sitting on the floor underneath the window, but they're not sniping at one another today. They both seem to be covertly watching Ren, muttering to each other under their breath. Dash must feel me looking at him. His head whips up and he looks right at me. Wait, no, not at me, at Karina.
Asshole, she grouses. What kind of sick fuck do you need to be to lead someone on, take their fucking virginity, humiliate them in the worst way imaginable, and then stare at them every available opportunity you get afterward? Like, what is he even trying to accomplish looking at me like that?
He's not trying to accomplish anything. He's reliving something, replaying it over in his head, savoring every second as he remembers stripping Karina out of her clothes and fucking her senseless. I know, because I know that look. That same dazed, distant expression has appeared on my face at least 10 times since Saturday night. I didn't text him. He didn't text me.
What does that mean? Were we both waiting for the other person to reach out first? Have we both been stubborn and stupid, too caught up in our own pride to even communicate with each other?
Or have I gotten this wrong? Is he just content now that he's had me?
Have I given him the one thing he wanted, and now I can expect never to speak to him again?
I'd love to walk right over there and smack the evil prick. He probably doesn't think I'll do it. I used to kickbox, though. I could hit him hard enough to leave a bruise.
Karina's oblivious to my spiraling panic.
I don't want to be that girl, the girl who freaks out over a boy, questioning every move she makes and overanalyzing everything to the point of madness. I make the decision right here and now. I will not be that girl.
He's probably ruining the day he messed with you, Karina. Don't worry about it. He's looked away now.
Class, I hate to have to do this to you. I'm sure you've all been dreading this moment all semester, but it's that time again.
Dr. Fitzpatrick laughs as a chorus of groans goes up around the room. I lean forward, squinting at the handsome teacher, trying to get a look at him. Something's off. Something.
Karina?
Hmm?
Does Dr. Fitzpatrick have a split lip? Fuck, it looks like he's wearing makeup.
My friend leans and squints too, chuckling softly.
Wow, yep, that's a corker of a bruise on his jaw. Who knew? I wouldn't have pegged Fitz as a brawler.
I would. I can see it on him somehow. A hidden secret violence that likes to spill out from time to time. I realize I've missed his announcement while I was talking, and now I have no idea why the rest of the class is grousing very loudly, hurling balled up pieces of paper at the doctor. He holds up his hands, shielding himself from the harmless projectiles, laughing when most other teachers would be losing their shit.
Okay, okay, that's enough of that, thank you. It's not up to me. The curriculum mandates this kind of stuff. You have to complete team projects to learn how to work together. How else are you going to know what to do when you move on from this fine establishment and begin your illustrious careers as line cooks in fast food restaurants, huh?
A rowdy jeer goes up at this. Apparently, Dr. Fitzpatrick's lack of faith in us is more entertaining than troubling.
You know the drill, he says. Now, are you going to pair up like adults in a calm, reasonable fashion, or am I going to have to draw names out of a hat again?
A furor breaks out, bodies flying across the room, friends searching for friends, people squabbling like chickens over who gets to be with who. I don't move. Obviously, Karina and I will be partners for whatever god-awful project we're about to be assigned. Only,
I want Karina Mendoza, Fitz.
Karina sits up straight, her eyes rounding out. What the hell just happened? By the window, Dashiell Lovett's on his feet, and he's pointing at Karina, wearing a very cool, very entitled look.
I think Karina's already partnered up, Fitz says. What's the point in us working with our friends? That's hardly helpful. How are we supposed to learn anything if we're simply hanging out with the people we always hang out with? Fitz studies Dash for a moment, frowns, then claps his hands together.
You raise an excellent point, Dashiell. Change of plan. Everyone in this room must partner up with a person they don't like. I don't mind how you go about it. Try to be sensitive of each other's feelings or whatever, he mutters, waving his hand at us as he stoops to grab his bag from the ground. You've got 2 minutes. Figure it out.
Silence falls like a stifling blanket over the room. Well, this is fucking awkward. People begin to reluctantly reorganize themselves, shuffling between the furniture like unhappy zombies as people decide who they're now going to sit beside. Again, I repeat, so fucking awkward.
Come on your feet, Elodie. I need to sit next to my partner.
Holy fuck, how did Dash get across here so quickly? He looks so proper in his shirt and tie. It looks like he shined his Italian leather shoes before he showed up this morning. Beside me, Karina's as stiff as a board.
You'll regret this, she snarls at him.
Doubt it.
He quirks an eyebrow at me, jerking his thumb over his shoulder.
Are you gonna make this super uncomfortable, or are you gonna go sit next to Ren like a good little girl? We all know how much you hate him.
I am going to fucking kill him. I give Karina an apologetic look, slowly getting to my feet. My heart's racing like a runaway train as I grab my bag and begin to make my way across Dr. Fitzpatrick's den. Ren's eyes are sharp, yet calm, as he watches me approach. I'm 4 steps away from the leather couch when Mercy just appears, like she was conjured out of thin air from the fucking depths of hell, and throws herself down next to her brother.
I'm still trying to figure out if you're detestable, Elodie, but I'm afraid I've got you beat here. Ren doesn't hate anyone as much as he hates me.
She grabs his arm and loops her own through it, smiling so angelically that my fucking teeth itch. Fury pours off Ren like smoke, but he doesn't get to object. There isn't time for that. Because the next thing I know, I look up to find Pax scowling down at me.
Congratulations, Frenchie. Looks like I get to be a pain in your neck now.
27. Ren. You're fucking damaged. You know that, right? Most kids were fascinated by the fact that Mercy and I were twins. How unusual, their parents used to coo. They look so similar, too. It isn't normally that obvious when you have a girl and a boy, but they're just like two peas in a pod. Mercy's my female counterpart, which is highly disturbing most days, and really fucking annoying on every other. No one should have to look at another person and know, without a shadow of a doubt, what they'd look like if they were born the opposite sex. It's just wrong. She flutters her eyelashes at me, resting her chin on my shoulder. Don't worry, big brother. I resent having to work with you too. But it's time we swept all of this hostility under the rug, don't you think? It's getting a little old. Our parents are beginning to suspect something terrible happened between us. We wouldn't want Father taking it upon himself to investigate now, would we? He just retired. Plenty of time on his hands now. He might be blind to what's right in front of him most of the time, but he's very good at solving puzzles when he puts his mind to it. I think I take after him in that way. Yes, we both know how great you are at sticking your nose in where it's not wanted, don't we? Not a question, a statement of fact. She preens like I've paid her a fucking compliment. Fitz goes around the room handing out assignment sheets, which means we're all doing different presentations. He visibly flinches when he stops in front of us, offering Mercy our assignment. She rips it out of his hand, baring her teeth in a smile so terrifying that the muscles in his throat work overtime as he hastily heads back to the front of the room. You shouldn't have hit him, she says to me. He wasn't doing anything wrong. I'm not listening to her, though. I'm too busy side-eyeing Pax, trying to silently threaten him into behaving. Elodie's back's to me, so I can't see the look on her face, but I know she must be hating this. Pax is a daunting prospect, even to those of us who claim to like him. So, Big Brother, care to tell me what's been going on since I've been away? Any new and interesting developments you'd like to share with me? They stopped serving spaghetti on Wednesdays, I growl. Oh, wow. You've got all the good gossip. I should have come to you first instead of Damiana. I give up glaring at Pax and glare at her instead. Not before I catch the sour, smug smile on Damiana's face, though. That girl's poison. That's all I say, because that's all I can say. Mercy fans herself with our assignment. Why'd you fuck her, then? Jesus, Mercy, don't you have a fucking play you're supposed to be performing in or something? In New York? Far, far away from here? Michael tried to make me an understudy. I'm not an understudy, Ren. I'm the leading lady, or I'm nothing at all. Damiana said you dropped her like a hot coal the moment the new girl came along. That can't be true, though, surely. She's so... She wrinkles her nose. Average. Just stay away from Elodie, Mercy, 10 feet at all times. Or what? Or I'll make your life a living hell. You're not the only one who's good at piecing together people's secrets. Oh, holy shit. I didn't think it was possible, but you, oh my God, you like her, don't you? She twists around to face me, hooking her leg underneath her like she's settling in for a good girl chat. Ren Jacoby, I never thought I'd see the day. I assumed after all these years of lashing out and breaking people that there was something fundamentally broken inside you. It's a real shock to learn otherwise, fuck. I snatch the paper out of her hand, scanning the information typed on it, pointedly ignoring the shit-eating grin she's wearing. We need to write an essay on an unsung hero in literature, present it to the class. You can choose. Really? For an actress, her attempt at fake surprise is pretty piss poor. You're usually so protective over your literary heroes, unsung or otherwise. God, this is gonna be such bullshit. I crack my knuckles with a vicious enthusiasm that shuts her up for 5 whole seconds. Look, I think it's great that you like someone. I know you don't believe me, but I care about you, Ren. And if this mousy, strange little girl blows your hair back, then I say go for it. This is a trick, a really lousy trick that I'm not stupid enough to fall for. I bare my teeth, dropping the paper into her lap. Pick the subject for the assignment, then stop fucking talking, Mercy, or so help me, we'll have problems. She picks Sydney Carton. Of all the characters in all the books, she picks Sydney Carton from A Tale of Two Cities because she knows how much it'll irritate me. Sydney's my guy. He's a wretch, the very worst and the very best. I identify with him on so many levels that it's not even funny. If she were anyone else, I'd be surprised that she picked him out of thin air as the topic of our assignment. But since she is who she is, I'm entirely unsurprised. We're twins, after all. Our fucked up brains work so similarly that I despise her almost as much as I despise myself. The moment the bell rings, signaling the end of class, I take out my phone and power it on. I tap out a message as I bolt out of the class. Me. Lunchtime. Find me. I'll be hanging with the poets.
28. Elodie. I've never wished harm on anyone before. That's actually a lie. I have wished harm on one person, but my father doesn't count. He's a vile piece of work, and he deserves every ill thought I've ever had about him. Aside from Colonel Stillwater, I make a point to give people the benefit of the doubt. I like to try and be a fair person, a just person. But it's no fucking good. Pax Davis is a motherfucker of the highest order, and I hope he falls off a very high cliff. I suppose it'd be okay if he survived the impact. A few weeks in traction, writhing in agony in a dingy hospital bed, though?
Yeah, that sounds like a suitable punishment for a prick like Pax. 8. That's how many times he called me a whore during the 40 minutes we had to sit together and plan out how we were going to tackle our assignment. Read an independent book with a profound and moving story arc, and then present it to the class. I'm honestly not sure Pax can read. He showed no interest in the sheet Dr. Fitzpatrick gave to us. But then again, he did spend the last 10 minutes of class hammering away at his phone screen, sending out text after text to God only knows who, so he must possess some rudimentary understanding of the English language. When we parted, he snarled something guttural and harsh at me in a language that I think was German. Then he politely told me that I was to read the book and write the presentation myself. Then he flipped me off and bailed without another word. I haven't been able to talk to Karina to find out how her ordeal with Dashiell went, but I'm guessing from the look on her face as she hurried to her next class that it went just about as well as one might expect. In other words, terribly. She has a meeting with the school counselor over lunch, which is why I don't feel guilty that I'm not trying to hunt her down as I make my way across the academy. When I jog up the steps to the library, my mind's racing a mile a minute. It was hardly a friendly text. Then again, Ren's not one to waste words. I wasn't anticipating anything flowery or romantic from him. Honestly, I was surprised that he'd messaged at all. I find him right where he said he'd be, in the poetry section, amongst the likes of Rilke, Hugo, Keats, and Wordsworth. With his head bowed over a book, his hair messy and all over the place, hanging in his face as it's perpetually wont to do, he's cast in silhouette by the light pouring in through the enormous windows behind him. I can make out his profile, though. The strong line of his jaw, the arrow straight, uncompromising bridge of his nose, and his sinfully full mouth that works as he shapes out the words on the page in front of him. He's not who he portrays himself to be. Not really. Yes, he's hard to reach sometimes, and he's colder than the glacial waters of Antarctica on occasion. But there is a deep, ponderous part of him that he doesn't show people, too. I get the feeling that he hasn't really shown that side of himself to me, either. It slipped out, unbidden, entirely by accident. The difference is, he hasn't tried to stuff it back down into its cage with me. He's let that side of him rest there, out in the open, for me to make of it what I will. His mouth works some more as he continues to read, but out loud now. We look before and after, and pine for what is not. Our sincerest laughter with some pain is fraught. Our sweetest tales are those that tell of saddest thought. Ah, so he was aware of my presence. Great. I pull myself together, having a fierce talk with my heart, making sure it knows to behave as I enter the stacks and go to him. More Byron? I ask. He shakes his head. Shelley. He was a fucker too, you know? Complete drunk, womanizer. Left his wife and knocked up another woman. Mary Shelley, I read about that. Ren closes the book softly, looking at me out of the corner of those green eyes. No other part of him moves. Like all the best artists, he was pretty fucked up. That poem didn't sound fucked up. It sounded sad. Ren smiles, slowly looking back down at the book. It's called Skylark, one of his most famous pieces. What's it about? The past and the future, fear of death, phantoms and ignorance. It's about how even the sweetest love songs are tinged with sadness, and how a man can never be free as a bird. Sounds beautiful. It is, he agrees. Sliding the book back onto the shelf, he turns and faces me, picking over me with an intense gaze that makes me break out in goosebumps.
What did he do? He demands. What? Pax, what did he do? I know he did something. He was just his usual charming self. It's all good. No harm, no foul. You don't know if there's been any harm yet. You won't know until you're lying on the floor in a pool of your own blood. That's how Pax works. I smile at his utter seriousness. Are you telling me he's going to try and eviscerate me? Because I'm not okay with that. Ren reaches out and grabs me by the hand, quickly spinning around and pulling me after him. Just like our run-in in front of Madame Fournier before my very first French class, shock spirals up my arm at his touch, surprising the hell out of me. But it's different this time. He hasn't taken me roughly by the wrist. He's taken me by the hand. And he's interlaced his fingers with mine. I'm too stunned to say anything as he pulls me away from the windows and the grim gray day outside, rushing, rushing, rushing until he reaches the rear corner of the library. He stops in front of a plain, innocuous wooden door that anyone in the world would overlook if they weren't standing right in front of it. Ren drops my hand and rifles in his pocket, pulling out a fat bunch of keys. His fingers flick deftly through a series of Yale keys and cruciform keys and skeleton keys until he finds the one he's looking for. A moment later, and the door is open. My hand is in Ren's again, and I'm following him inside. The door clicks shut behind us, and everything is stillness and perfect, velvet dark. I can hear him breathing, soft and calm, and every cell in my body stands to attention. Don't suppose there's a light in this place, I ask. Whispering feels appropriate given the weighty silence pressing against my eardrums. What's the matter? You afraid of standing in a room with me in the dark, Lily? His voice is a rough caress, slightly teasing in tone. I can picture the upward tilt of his mouth, the sharp challenge in his eyes, and my toes curl in my shoes. Not at all. I'm fine. I'm perfectly happy standing here with you in the dark. And I am. There's something freeing about it. I'm not worried about the way he's looking at me, and I'm not afraid of the fact that I'm blushing. I can just be. In that case. Ren's other hand touches my stomach, making me jump. Easy, Little E, he coaxes, just trying to find your other hand. I give it to him, swallowing thickly when he guides my palms up to rest on his chest, right over the firm wall of muscle that forms his pecs. I can feel his heart beating beneath the soft cotton of his hoodie, and with my sight taken away from me, the steady dum, dum, dum beneath my fingertips is everything. It anchors me, rooting me in place until I feel grounded and safe? Wow, that's a new one. How is it even possible that I'd feel safe with him? Ren steps closer, the soles of his boots scuffing against what sounds like tile, and his warm breath disturbs my hair, skating across my cheek. I figured this would be easier for you, he says softly. For me too. Easier how? Because it's less difficult being honest without having to worry about someone's reactions, right? You can tell me the truth, and I can tell you the truth. It won't be as frightening as doing it in the light of day. Oh, damn. What the hell does he want to say to me? I close my eyes, an unnecessary action that serves no purpose other than making me feel better. Okay. This sounds serious. Should I be worried? He chuckles. Perhaps. Then rip off the band-aid, Jacoby. Let's get this show on the road. More laughter. So willing to walk into the fire.
definitely one of the things I enjoy most about you. One of the things? There are other things you like about me? This talking in the dark thing is already working a treat. I would never have said that with the lights on. I'm not that playful, especially not with dangerous creatures who have the power to do severe and irreparable damage. I go very still when I feel the feather-soft brush of Ren's mouth against my cheek. He hasn't shaved this morning. His stubble scrapes against my skin, and I shiver against the heady sensation, barely breathing around it. Yes, he whispers, plenty of things. I'll make you a list. Oh, fuck me running. This is going to get interesting. I was worried that he dragged me into this, whatever kind of room this is, to tell me that he wants nothing to do with me. I'm not worried about that anymore. He places his hands on my hips, sliding his palms around to the small of my back, drawing me closer so that our bodies are in alignment, my hands still firmly planted on his chest. First, I want you to tell me the truth, he says. Did Pax do anything to upset you? Did he threaten you? He implied that I accepted payment in return for sex a couple of times, but apart from that, no. Ren grunts unhappily. I'll make sure he doesn't do that again. Don't worry, I've been accused of way worse. I have a thick skin. No, you don't. Your skin's like fucking silk. He groans, deep and low, running the bridge of his nose along the line of my jaw, breathing in deeply like he's trying to inhale my very essence. You don't need to worry about Pax. I'll take care of him. The second thing I want to know is, if you're ready yet.
Ready for what?
To lay your cards on the table. To tell me that you want me. All of me. All of the time, for there is to be no more confusion about what this is. My chest tightens as if there's a belt cinching closed around it. Straight to the point, huh? I told you, I like things to be black and white, clear cut, no room for misunderstanding. You said you preferred things that way too.
I do.
Then tell me what you think this is. Well, shit. This would be a lot less mortifying if he went first. He'll think I'm a coward if I don't give him an answer, though. I will be a coward, and I've spent too many years convincing myself that I'm strong to let myself down now. I do want you. I want all of you for myself. And... Lord Almighty, this one's going to make me feel like a stupid, naive little girl, but here goes nothing. I want to be your girlfriend. Silence. Roaring, deafening silence. I can feel the smugness radiating off him, though, very real and very present. After a beat, he presses his hands more firmly into my back, pulling me up against him so that I feel the hardness of him between our bodies. His dick is erect, and from the way it pulses against my stomach, it wants some attention. Do you have any idea what being my girlfriend would be like, little E?
He growls. Words. I need words. Where did I put my ability to form coherent sentences? The same place I put my ability to think coherent thoughts by the look of things. You're probably very possessive, I manage.
You have no idea. And?
And you probably like to hoard all of the power in a relationship.
I like being in control of any situation. He admits, but I am willing to share on occasion.
You probably like to fight?
Nothing wrong with healthy disagreement,
Nothing wrong with calling someone on their shit if they're misbehaving, either.
You'd probably want everything your way. I'm capable of compromise.
Okay. Keep going.
That's all I can think of. There's another faint brush of lips against my own lips this time. The contact so gentle and teasing that I make a needy whimpering sound when he deprives me of his mouth.
Then let me fill in the rest, he rumbles. I'm arrogant. I like to fuck. I'm intense as hell sometimes. It's all or nothing with me. That's just who I am. I don't do things in half measures. There are days that you'll hate me more than you'll love me. And you will love me, Elodie. It's already too late for that. I'll love you, and you'll love me, and there won't be any turning back for either of us. So let me ask you again. Do you have an idea of what it will be like now? And do you still want that, knowing that it might not always be perfect, that it might be hard sometimes?
My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. I can't fucking speak. He's so raw and fierce and dominant in everything he says and does. The picture of the future with him that he's just painted is terrifying and bewildering and so fucking exciting that I know I should be less sure about the answer I want to give. But I am certain. Damn it all to hell. This is the stupidest thing I'll ever do in my life. But I say the words. Yes, Ren, I still want it. His hands tighten into fists behind me, clawing at my shirt. Suddenly, he's pushing me backward, lifting me off my feet, and there's a wall at my back. He snarls like a hungry wolf, crushing his mouth down on mine, and my mind becomes a void. His tongue probes my mouth, sweeping and tangling with mine, and it's all I can do to remember to breathe. He's everywhere. The smell of him floods my head, all citrus and fresh sea air and bright cedar. I'm so fucking dizzy on him, and I don't even register what I'm doing until he hisses into my ear.
Carefully, you're almost down to the bone. Fuck, I've wrapped my arms around him, and I'm digging my fingernails into his back through the thin material of his hoodie. Shit, sorry. Don't be. I like it. But if you're gonna mark me as your property, at least take my fucking clothes off first.
A wave of heat slams into me, burning in my chest, my stomach, and between my legs. I'm like an animal, possessed and wild, as I scramble to take hold of his hoodie. I have it off him in record time. We undress each other in the dark. Frantic and desperate, sharing breath and moaning each other's names as we kiss and touch and knead at each other's skin. I don't know where I am, literally, and I do not care. All that matters are Ren's demanding hands on my body and the strained urgency in his voice as he gives me a command.
Down on your knees for me, little E. I want to find out how good that perfect mouth feels.
I may have had sex before, but this is something that I've never done. Still, I'm not one to shy away from new challenges, especially ones I want to participate in. I drop down, kneeling for him, knowing I'm relinquishing control to him, but strangely unafraid. His hands wind into my hair as he gently cradles my head. Then, the tip of his cock is pressing against my lips, parting them and pushing inside.
Holy shit, Ren hisses. Fuck, Elodie, that feels...
Whether he trails off because it feels too good or because I'm doing a terrible job, I have no fucking clue. I lave at the hardness he slides into my mouth, enjoying the silken, rigid texture of his erection, and Ren begins to shake.
The videos I watched on YouTube last year, how to give your man good head, and best blowjob tips, and how to make him come in 30 seconds flat, seem to be paying off, though. He shudders as I apply a little more pressure with my mouth, tentatively sucking, and a slew of curse words spill out of him.
Jesus. God. Damn, little Lee. That feels fucking incredible.
Pleased doesn't even cover it. Ren Jacoby, the scourge of Wolf Hall Academy, the bane of countless women's existences, harbinger of misery and suffering, is at my mercy now. I have him. I thought I was signing over my control when I obeyed his breathless command, but that isn't even remotely true. I'm at the wheel right now. I'm steering this thing, and with a simple flick of my tongue, I know I can bring him to his knees. He's so fucking hard. Harder with every passing second. His hands tighten in my hair, holding on to me with a steel-like grip. But somehow, I know that if I want to pull the plug on this at any point, I still have the power to do that.
Elodie, God, Elodie, he pants.
Not Little Lee this time. I haven't given his little nickname for me much thought, but I like the sound of my full name on his lips. He utters it like a sacred prayer, as if he's worshiping me as I worship him, and my head swims with the sound of it. I'm just finding my rhythm, figuring out how badly I can make him shake by utilizing my tongue in different ways. When he jerks back, pulling himself out of my mouth with a wet pop.
Black hell, E, it's too much, too good, he gasps. Get on your back, I wanna fucking taste you again. That pretty little cunt of yours is all I've been able to think about.
I thank the universe, God, and everything holy that it's dark now. My heart surges like a piston as I lay back onto the cold, hard floor. Ren's fingers dig into my thighs, pushing them apart, and then he falls on me like a demon. He's had way more practice than me. He proved that quite eloquently the other night when he made me come with his mouth. I'm still unprepared for how good it feels when he sweeps over me with the flat of his tongue, though. I tense, my breath hissing out between my teeth as I attempt to relax into the intense sensation building up inside of me.
God, he groans. You're so fucking sweet. I can't get enough.
He buries his tongue into my pussy again, and he doesn't just use his tongue this time. He uses his entire face, the bridge of his nose, everything, rubbing himself into my slick flesh so hungrily that heat explodes across my face. I'm ashamed, wet, mortified, and so turned on that I can't wrap my head around what's happening. He moans, feasting on me like an animal, and I lock my legs around his head, pulling him down on me even harder. A staggering, overwhelming need blossoms in the pit of my stomach when he slides his fingers inside me, slowly pumping them as he licks. It's so much at once, too much emotion and desire and feeling, that I realize tears are sliding from my eyes and over my temples. I'm gasping for air in wet, desperate gasps that only seem to urge him on. He fucks me with two fingers, stretching me, exploring, stroking a point deep inside me that I didn't even know existed until I'm vibrating, shaking against the floor, my arms and legs tingling to the point of pain, and I feel like I'm gonna...
Fuck. Hold on, little E. I wanna feel you come all over my cock.
Ren pulls away, leaving me whimpering and so close to falling apart. I'm only left to suffer